Turn to someone and tell them, you are God's beloved. You are God's beloved. You are God's beloved. Very often I open my talks with the greeting, good morning, beloved ones. Good morning, beloved ones. Good morning, good morning. You see, I love calling you beloved ones. Such a beautiful word, right? Beloved. Don't you love being called beloved? It's such a beautiful word and a phrase. Beloved, it's a wonderful reminder that we are indeed to be loved. Beloved. To be loved, and that we are actually the beloved of God. And yet, how often do we remember that we are the beloved of God, especially when we're in relationship or partnership or marriage? Oftentimes, this notion of being the beloved of God gets lost in the love. You know what I mean? For it gets lost in the relationship. It gets lost in trying to work things out. And we forget that we are the beloved of God. If nothing else, God loves us, right? God loves us. That's a wonderful thought. So we know that today is Valentine's Day, a day in which we celebrate love, right? We celebrate love. And for some, it's a signal of romantic love. For others, it is simply a deep and abiding love, a love of friendship. Or maybe it's familiar love, where we're loving our family. Whichever it might be, we usually on this day sort of send and receive cards and notes and flowers and candy. And if you're lucky, some jewelry, you know, or some other good gift, you know. The point is that there's some expression of love or affection or maybe just regard. You know, just regard. Because if we're honest with ourselves, we all want to be loved. And if not loved, at least held in high regard. Right? We all want that. To be made to feel as if we matter on some level. Everybody wants to matter on some level. Because it's part of our human nature. It's part of the human condition, our makeup. We want to be loved. We want to experience some level of significance. Everybody. But what is also a part of our human nature and our human makeup is that we often seek love sometimes in limiting or unhealthy ways. Everybody's going, because you've been there, done that, right? Okay. Sometimes we seek this love in, you know, maybe even negative or destructive ways, you know, that has caused us to do things that we would not necessarily want to do. But in the effort to seek love, we've sought it in the wrong or limited experiences in limited ways. Or maybe we have even used love at times as a weapon. Anybody go, now come on, you know that right? That is usually either giving or withholding our love so that whatever the behavior or the results that we are desiring from another will come and manifest as we want it to, right? So maybe I'm not going to show you all my love until you do what I need you to do, or I'm going to withhold my love because I'm not quite sure you're ready for it, or you didn't demonstrate that you love me enough. Whatever it is, we use it as a weapon. So to say this whole notion of love or the concept of love has been used and abused, right, from time to time. It's been used and abused, and to say that it basically is an understatement, especially if there are those who we think are undeserving of our love. Have you ever felt that? Well, you know what? They just don't deserve my love, as if our love is somehow, you know, the most special thing. Everybody thinks their love is special. So you're not deserving of my love. And what about the unlovable? Are there those who might fall into this category, that they're just plain simply unlovable? Well, I thought, let's look at this. Let's see how this whole notion of love fits into our series, the series on being a light bearer and a light worker, one who's empowered from within and on high. That's what we've been working with. Now, the message or subtopic for today is appropriate because it is loving beyond limits. Loving beyond limits. And certainly as a light bearer or a light worker, one would need to know how to love beyond limits. Wouldn't you think? You got to learn how to love beyond limits, or as some would say, to love unconditionally. Now, this is a challenging here. See, this notion right here, this requirement of loving beyond limits, or maybe even loving unconditionally. I love people when they tell me, well, I just love unconditionally. Well, it depends. Because you have to be in a certain state of consciousness to be able to do that, right? So this whole idea of loving beyond limits, that is a requirement as a light bearer or a light worker. This particular topic may just give us a bit of challenge to master or to work with. Think about it. Jesus said this in Matthew 5, verse 44. He said, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." Now, this comes from the Sermon on the Mount, but this is a hard teaching right here. You know, we're asked to what? To love enemies, to bless those that are cursing us, to do good, to pray for those who despitefully use us. I mean, wow, that just doesn't feel right, right? That doesn't feel natural to my human condition and my human makeup, because naturally, if you try to harm me, my natural human response might be to harm you back. If you're trying to curse me, I might curse you back. If you hate me, I'm going to hate you back, right? If you do anything to me, I'm going to give it unto you. Do unto others as you have done unto me, sometimes is applied in a limited way from the human condition. So this is a hard, hard teaching here. But yet Jesus said this is what we must do. It goes against human nature, but that is exactly the point. It's exactly the point, because it's going to take something higher than your human nature. But then he goes on in another verse to say, not only must we do all these things and bless and do good and pray and all this stuff, he also says in another verse that you have to love your neighbor as yourself. Now, this is getting a little too close to home, because loving your neighbor means that they're close, right? Your neighbor is either right next door or somewhere in the vicinity of you. And it may be that person who, like for me, who used to drive his truck on my lawn. You mean I need to love this guy? Loving my neighbor as myself? Wow. But he's saying love that which is close to you. Now, when you come into my home, you can be out here, but when you start coming into my home, when you come near that which I hold precious, it might be something different than love that's being expressed. So it's a hard teaching. And then he gets even grander when he says this. He said, "Greater love hath no man that he would lay down his life for a friend." I'm like, what? Lay down one's life for a friend. Now, I can see laying down my life for a blood relative. But a friend? Wow. You know, this is asking a lot of us. So there must be something about this thing called love. There must be something that is oh so powerful about this quality of love. Something that's deep, something that's transformative. Now, I know the ancient Greeks came up with four categories of love. We all learned this in basic philosophy in college, right? That you had agape love, filial love, storge love, and eros love. Now, I'm not going to go into those today. You can look them up when you get home. But when I was reflecting upon this whole concept of love, that came to mind, these four categories. And I thought, well, basically, I think we can break it down into two categories. I think we can break it down into two basic dimensions. Because as I see it, there are just two. There is love as an emotion, and then there is love as a transformative, unifying force or energy. So we have love as an emotion, one category, or love as a transformative, unifying force or energy. Now, let's look at the first one, love as an emotion. Love as an emotion belongs to the human dimension and the human condition and human consciousness. It's something that we all desire. It's something that we feel. It's something that can either lift us up, but it can also bring us down, right? It's something that can make us happy, and it's something that can make us sad and break our hearts. It has this love as an emotion is very volatile, and it's changeable, and it can be felt in various degrees, various levels of degrees. It can be positive, or it can have a negative charge to it. In other words, it is not only does it have limits, but it's limiting. Regardless of what we think, love as an emotion is a limited thing. And it can limit us. And yet, we are all consumed with acquiring it and experiencing it and getting it because we think and believe that it's what makes us whole. If I can just get this, you know, if I can just get you to love me, I'm going to be all right. You complete me. You make me whole. Well, we're laughing, but, you know, we feel that sometimes. I need this person to somehow fulfill my sense of being, which is why we kind of run into trouble sometimes, because it's not always the case. And when that is removed, when that person is removed, or that situation is removed, we feel bereft of love. See? So because there are limits within the human condition, therefore there's a limit to love as an emotion. But what the soul really seeks and the soul really desires is divine love. It's a love as a transformative or unifying force or energy, something that is so deep that it actually moves beyond the limits of our own, even our own desire. It's a love so deep, so vast, so wide, so powerful, but it's beyond anything that we could even desire, whether it's a person, place, or thing, it's greater than that. It is something that is connected to the spiritual dimension. Love as an emotion is connected to our human nature and human condition. Divine love is something altogether different, and it is connected to the spiritual realm and the spiritual condition. So I wanted to look at some of the things that Charles Fillmore, who's the co-founder of Unity, wrote or said about love in and of itself. His understanding of love as a quality or an essence of being, the basically divine love as he defines it. And this is what might be required of us as light bearers or light workers. So the first thing he says, and I'm taking this from the revealing word, there are four sort of definitions or expressions he defines love as. So the first one he says is this. He says, love, the pure essence of being that binds together the whole human family. Of all the attributes of God, love is undoubtedly the most beautiful. In divine mind, love is the power that joins and binds in divine harmony the universe and everything in it. It is the great harmonizing principle known to man. The great harmonizing principle. Now, Lord knows the world can use some harmonizing energy right now. Is that true? And for that matter, we all could use some harmonizing energy. He said it was the unifying, the force that unifies and joins together the entire universe and everything in it. So there's this harmonizing, unifying quality to love. And it's something that has the ability to bring us back into the state of wholeness and balance. Because when it's unified, it's a sense of what? Oneness, right? Now, as long as we see the other, you know, it's just natural from the human perspective. I'm here. We have this sense of I, this sense of me, and then I have a sense of you. But as long as we continue to see the other as separate from ourselves, there's going to be room for conflict. As long as we are holding opposites in consciousness, that automatically will create conflict. This or that. Even if you have this and that. You see, once you start moving it into duality, you have the potential for conflict. So this divine love then has to do with removing this sense of separateness, removing this sense of otherness. Me and you, God and I. You know, it's just the state of oneness, which we're working on perceiving and experiencing. So that when I see you, I see myself. When I see you, I see God. There is no separation. There is no me and you. There is only God, only the good. Now, this takes a little bit of practice. So for the most part, we'll have, when we're in consciousness and we see the other, then we have choice and should I do this or should I do that? Should I go here or should I go here? You know, conflict, making the decision. So whether there's internal or external conflict, the one great solution for everything is this harmonizing energy of divine love. Because by its very nature, it joins and binds things together. So in the midst of divine love, or when we are in divine love, we do not see opposites. We cannot see opposites. When you are in the midst of an awareness and consciousness of divine love, there's only one. You cannot see two. It is the expression of one in being, which many are included in the one, because that's how God works. It sees only the one. Many are included in the one. See, it's a God thing. You understand? It's a God thing. How do you see one, many in the one? But that's the way, ultimately, life is. So it's a God thing. Then Mr. Fillmore says this. He says, divine love is impersonal. It loves for the sake of loving. It is not concerned with what or who it loves, nor with a return of love. Like the sun, its joy is in the shining forth of its nature. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. And that comes from Corinthians 13:4. So he's saying love is impersonal. Now, this might be a little challenging too, because if we are coming from our human nature, we want our love to be personal, right? I want you to love me personally. I get all that divine love and community love. I want you to love me, right? Because and on this consciousness, it's all about me. It's all about us. That's what we think, right? I want you to love me and love only me, right? So this whole thing of this notion, because that's part and parcel of the human condition, but this whole notion that love, you know, is impersonal, divine love is impersonal, well, that doesn't feel so good. Because it makes me feel that, again, I don't matter. I don't care. But you have to understand that for this essence of divine love, this love that is transformative and unifying, this love that is healing, this love that is all-encompassing, it's not personal, it's universal. It's not personal, but it is universal. Turn to somebody and say, it's not personal. It's not personal. You know. It's not. It's universal, which means it is available to all. It's available to everybody. It's not personal. It's not wrapped up in sentiment, but in radiance. See, that human love or human love as an emotion is wrapped up in sentiment that can be expressed or withdrawn, or the sentiment can turn from love into another sentiment, right? We've had that too. But it's not sentiment, it's radiance. It's about radiating its essence to everything and everywhere. It is a force that is directed everywhere, right? It doesn't get caught up in specified conditions. See, the sun doesn't say, well, I'll radiate over here or I'll radiate over here. The sun is just simply shining. It's radiating everywhere, right? It's not choosing where to radiate. It's radiating everywhere. And so it has no specified conditions. It has no limits. It has no conditions. It's just a powerful expression of its nature and its being. See, divine love truly is a God thing. It's a God thing. And it takes an elevated consciousness to express it. And so even if your consciousness is not that elevated, at least it will take a vessel that is open enough to allow it to come through. So either you have an elevated consciousness or you're open enough to allow it to come through. Those are two things that are needed for this divine love to find expression in and through us as vehicles, vessels, right? You see, because when we come from our human nature, we're going to see conditions. So when somebody tells me that they don't see, you know, it's all unconditional, I try to look and see where are they coming from. Are they coming from their human nature? Because when we do, we're going to see conditions. We'll see circumstances. We're going to see limitations. We're going to have judgments, right? We're going to have assessments, and we'll begin to analyze. There'll be qualifications for our love. There'll be all these different things which actually block pure love from coming through. So if we can tap into this higher form of love, love that's transformative as an energy, and we can begin to practice expressing it and touching it for no other reason other than just to feel God, for no other reason, it's not a specified, I'm not going to necessarily, you know, practice love to love you or to love this. I'm just going to begin to practice expressing love, to radiating love, to heal. And when you begin to do that, it begins to heal and transform everything that's in its path. Everything that's in your past. What will happen is you will become a vibration of love. An attractive vibration, because love is also an attracting force. So you will begin to attract, and it attracts that which is like itself. And it repels anything that is less than itself. So when you begin to touch this vibration of divine love and incorporate it into your being and match that vibration in your spirit and body, mind, heart, and soul, all of a sudden you begin to do miraculous things. Because love is a transformative and healing and unifying force and an energy. And I'll say this, there is nothing that can resist the power of divine love. Nothing. There's no force that can come against divine love when it is radiating, when it is being expressed. So, you know, we want to become the vibration of love. So we have to stop thinking, well, I'm giving my love to someone. Mm-mm. We are just going to be the vibration of love as a light bearer. That's our job. Now, we could just stop right there because it simply says to me that divine love is enough. You don't need anything else. If you have, you know, someone, I read a little quote this morning said, if the only love you have is God's love, then that's all you need. You have enough. That's powerful. If you have God's love, you have it. You have everything you need. But I want to continue to read what he says. There's just two more definitions from Mr. Fillmore because I think they carry value as well. He said, love is an inner quality that sees good everywhere and in everybody. And remember we talked about the good? As a part of being a light bearer, being able to see it good, name it good, speak the good, hold the good, image the good, right? That's God. So he says, love is an inner quality that sees good everywhere and in everybody. It insists that all is good And by refusing to see anything but good, it causes that quality finally to appear uppermost in itself and in all things. Now, this is powerful because this is process. He gives you a process for how this works here. And what he's saying, it sees good, but then it insists that all is good. And by refusing to see anything but good, it causes that quality to finally appear uppermost in itself and in all things. Now, that's powerful because what this says is that this is a spiritual practice of spiritual law, and that it's loving beyond limits, but it's loving even beyond appearances. See, we get hung up in the appearances. This don't look like something I should love, right? It's not showing up the way that I want it to show up. I can't love that. We're judging by appearances. So he says here, there's light bearers and light workers. This is a quality and a function of consciousness that is vital for us. You're going to have to learn this. To be able to see the good until it appears. He said, refuse to see anything else until, and when you get that kind of energy that you are seeing the good until you have that good appear, that's when you know you're a light worker. I'm holding on to seeing the good. I don't care what it looks like, how it's showing up out here. I will hold to seeing the good until it appears. That's when you're a master metaphysician. That's when you're a master light worker and a light bearer. Seeing and loving beyond appearances. Loving not what we see with our physical eyes, but loving that which we see and know to be true inwardly, right? So this is what we're trying to do and to work on as being a light bearer. Love, and last he says this about love. He says, love is the great harmonizer and healer. Whoever calls on God as Holy Spirit for healing is calling on divine love. Divine love will bring your own to you, adjust all misunderstandings, and make your life and affairs healthy, happy, harmonious, and free. Love, and then he gives a quote from the scriptures. Love, therefore, is the fulfillment of the law. Now, I love this one because what this says is that when we are able, this is where I think divine love enters into the human dimension. This is when it brings forth healing and everything good into our lives and into our affairs and into our situations. Because it's here that it touches us and love begins to work on our behalf. The key phrase that I loved in it is that it brings your own to you. I don't have to worry about the good you have because divine love is going to do what? Bring my own good to me. And it comes easily and naturally. I don't have to covet what you have. I don't have to go searching really for it because it will bring my own to me, right? So this is a powerful thing here. It brings whatever is for you. It'll bring that perfect soulmate to you, your own. It'll bring that perfect job to you, your own. It'll bring that, you know, whatever your heart's desire. It brings your own to you. So it keeps us from feeling that I have to encroach upon your good. You have what looks good over there. Maybe I want some of that. I'll take, divine love will bring your own to you. That's some powerful stuff. Because this is what grace and love is really about, bringing our own to us naturally and easily. And then he says that when it comes to this whole concept of divine love will adjust all misunderstanding. See, sometimes human love, the human emotion cannot adjust misunderstanding because we get into being what? Right or wrong. We're going to go someplace else with it. Divine love will adjust all misunderstanding because it's beyond the limits of human condition, human emotion. And so it begins to then adjust all of the misunderstandings in your life. And it says your life and your affairs, so that as it begins to adjust, and sometimes some of the confusion or the upheaval that you see in your life is God adjusting. Taking away what needs to be taken away out of your life, bringing to you what needs to be brought into your life, and making the adjustments so that you begin to live, what does it say? Healthy, happy, harmonious, and free lives. Now, that's what I'm talking about. Healthy, happy, and free. So, if we can work on experiencing and expressing this divine love as a spiritual energy, a spiritual force, then things within the human condition, our human condition, will begin to fall into place more naturally. Without our efforting it, you see. Love then, as the scripture says, love becomes the fulfillment of the law, of the spiritual law, and of the human condition. So on this Valentine's Day, and for this upcoming week, I'm going to give you an assignment. And I was laughing. I said, I think some people stayed home because they didn't want me to test them on the assignments today. How many of you were prepared for the assignment that I was going to ask you about? Did you do the assignment last week? I said I wasn't going to ask, but I'm going to ask. What was the assignment? Take dominion for your thoughts and to do what with others? Bless them. Bless them. Bless them. All right. So your assignment for this week is I want you to practice offering love to it's similar to the blessing. So you should be pretty good at it by now. But you're going to offer love to everyone that you see, to every circumstance you find yourself in, every situation, every condition. It doesn't matter who they are. It doesn't matter what's occurring. I just want you to be able to get into your heart center maybe your head center. Right? Get into those two places, but especially your heart center. And I want you to begin to just send love, to offer love, to give love, to radiate love. Whether you're in the car and you're driving, people are passing, radiate love. Whether you're walking down the street, radiate love. Offer love. Everybody you see, love you, bless you. Just keep doing all of that radiating love. Whether you're in the supermarket, love somebody. And everyone that you can see, because it doesn't really matter who or doesn't matter what the situation, you're just going to begin to practice love. Loving for the sake of loving, because that's what divine love is. It's just loving for the sake, and I want you to get into the vibration of just radiating love. That's a powerful affirmation. I am a radiating center of light and love. In your meditation, spend some time. That's what I do now, because as a light worker, I'm trying to infuse myself with light. So I say I'm a radiating center, and I feel light just moving out of my third eye, just radiating, just going out, and then I see it coming out of my heart center, and then after a while, it's out of all of my chakras, out of my throat, out of all my centers. I'm just pure light, blazing, radiating, love, love, love. I'm vibrating. I do it until I feel like I'm vibrating. That's powerful stuff. And so when I come at that, you come in my space, you're going to get some of that. Right? You have to, because I'm at a certain vibrational level. You're going to have to get some of that. So I want you to practice this and to be no respecter of persons. That's what the Bible says about God, right? God is no respecter of persons. It ain't about you and you and you. It's about every creation of God being good. So don't qualify it. Just begin to offer it. To everyone, even those who you might perceive as your enemies, because there are no enemies. Your enemy is just saying, into me, see. It's you. Right? There are no enemies. There are no people who challenge you. There are people who are calling forth love from you. People, all of this is our opportunity. So there's great power in this, healing, harmonizing, transformative power that will lift us all into a higher vibration, a higher evolution. Because it's a God thing. It's a God thing. So beloved, let us love one another. Let us love one another. Let us love beyond limits. Namaste and blessings. Blessings. Namaste. Thank you. Namaste. Blessings. Thank you.